and finds a nice clean space, and so he moves back in and he brings seven others with him. And the end is worse than the beginning. Why? Well, because, yes, it was right to get rid of the unclean spirit, but then you should have filled the space with something. You can't just leave empty space or it'll fill up. It will just fill itself up. So you replace that which is removed from your life. We do it in a lot of areas, and here in Colossians chapter 3, it talks about those things. The one who is saved, the one who's risen with Christ, there are things here to be put off and things to be put on. In verse number 8, it says to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Verse 9, lie not one to another. And verse number 10, you put on the new man. Verse 12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. All those things, God says, I want you to put off those things that are marks of the old man. And then I want you to put on the right things. Why? Well, because if all you do is put off the old things, they will come back. They really will. You get under conviction about anger or blasphemy or whatever it is, and you find yourself down at the altar saying, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I've done that, and I've allowed anger to take over my life. Lord, help me to get rid of this and get it out of there. That's good. That's wonderful. But now replace it. Replace it. It goes through all of that in Colossians chapter number 3. And comes down to verse 12 and 13 and tells us to put on things. And verse number 14, to put on charity. And then you get to verse 15 and 16. Look at verse 15 and 16 again. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That seems almost like something completely unrelated that just slipped in the middle of all that, doesn't it? But verse 16 is very much related to the first 15 verses and to the next verse, which comes after it, verse number 17, that says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If when we get saved and we become a new creature in Christ and there's a new man now, when we do that and we put off the old things and put on the new things, does it not stand to reason that verse number 16 comes into play in our lives and that the music that we listen to becomes new music as well? We put off that which is displeasing to God, and we put on that which brings Him honor and glory. We replace it on purpose. I don't know if you've noticed, but one of the characteristics of today's music is depression. Death, depression, destruction. That's the big three in the popular music of the day. Death, depression, and destruction. And to be perfectly honest, it really doesn't vary with musical styles. It's still the message. If it's the drugged out headbanger, the music is death, depression, and destruction. If it's the guy with the guitar and the cowboy hat, when you boil it down, it's really still death, depression, and destruction. That's what it comes down to. That's what the world is singing about today. You can go down to New York City and go watch an opera, and you know what you'll find? Death, depression, destruction. That's what the world has to offer. It's not really dependent upon musical style. That's just the content of what the world is singing about today. So if it's all death, depression, and destruction, why do they even sing? Because people like to sing, that's why. It's just part of our makeup, and we like music and we like to sing. The sad thing is that if all you have to sing about is death, depression, and destruction. That's sad. That's sad. We were in Alaska last summer. Normally we're there in December, January, which we will be again here very soon. But last year we kind of made an exception, and we were up in the summer months. We were in July and August. And so we got to do things we do not normally get to do. When we're in Alaska, it's always winter. So the kids look forward to, they're looking forward to being at Grandma's house because we'll get to sled down the hill and they'll probably get some rides on the snow machine and things like that. And they look forward to all that stuff because we get to do that when we're in Alaska. So we were going up in July and they said, are we gonna get to sled at Grandma's house? I said, well, no. Why not? Well, there won't be any snow. And I think it was David. He said, what do they do with it? Well, they put it all in a pile and hide it till next winter. No, it melts and they have summer. So we did things we didn't normally do. We got to go fishing and that was a lot of fun. They caught a bunch of fish and had a great time. But we got to go to the parade. My little hometown of Soldotna, Alaska, has a parade every July. It's called the Progress Days Parade. I don't know really how much progress they've made, but it's Progress Days Parade. We do have a McDonald's, so I guess there's been progress. And it's the big thing. I mean, it is the big thing. Everybody looks forward to the Progress Days Parade. And the highlight of the Progress Days Parade is the parade of wiener dogs. It's the big thing. They advertise it for months. If you have a wiener dog, you bring him and he'll march in the parade. They come from 200 miles away. They come from Anchorage. They come from Homer. They come from Seward. They come from Palmer and Wasilla. They come from everywhere and bring their wiener dogs to march in the Soldotna Progress Days Parade. They only march the second half of the parade route because they have very short legs and they can't handle the whole trip. So they start halfway through and go to the end. If you want to see the wiener dogs, you've got to be in the second half. So we were out there. We're on the sidewalk. We got our spot and our chairs. We're out on the sidewalk, second half of the parade. We want to see it all, including the wiener dogs. And everything's coming down the street, and it was exciting. And all of a sudden, here they come. It was probably over 100 of these little wiener dogs, and they're all on leashes. You know, some of them have little outfits on and all kinds of crazy stuff, and they're marching down the road, and it just, the patriotism wells up in your heart when you see that, you know. It's the closest thing to seeing bald eagles soaring through the sky, a whole 100 wiener dogs marching down the road. And there they come, and they're just strutting along like they're something important, you know, down the road, and everybody's cheering for the wiener dogs. And then behind the wiener dogs came this van. And there were some kind of mangy-looking characters in the back of the van and some big speakers, and the speakers were just blaring. I mean, it was loud, thumping and booming, and the van's kind of bouncing up and down, and we were just glad that they got past us. I mean, it was awful. After the parade was over, we went down to the park because they had some booths set up and some stuff going on, and the hot dog man was down there and all that, and we went down to get a hot dog, and it was raining a little bit, so they had a big tent set up. We went to sit down under the tent to eat our hot dogs, and right next to the tent was a great big stage. And you'll never guess who got up on the stage. It was the guys from the van. They got up on the stage, and they started to play and sing. It was horrible. I mean, it was far worse than what they did in the van, because they had bigger speakers up on the stage. And it was just awful. And the tent was right in front of it, so we couldn't get away, but it was raining. We scarfed down our hot dogs, and then we got to the other side of the park as fast as we could, just so we wouldn't have to sit there and have that pounded into our head. We were standing at the other side of the park at a little booth, and the kids were looking at something. And from the distance of being all the way across the park, I could understand some of the words they were singing. And I'm standing there listening, and I said to Liz, are they saying what I think they're saying? And she said, yeah, that's what they're saying. I'm going to do my best to sing you the song this morning. Are you ready? I'm going to give it my best shot now to do it pretty much like they did it. It might hurt my throat, so I have to clear my throat here and be ready. Here we go. Wreck your body, then you die. Wreck your body, then you die. Over and over and over and over again. Wreck your body, then you die. That's what they were singing from the stage in the park. I said, are they saying wreck your body, then you die? She said, yep, that's what they're saying. You know, that's the message of the world's music. Wreck your body, then you die. No matter what it is, you know, it doesn't matter the style. That's the message the world has. What a sad thing. But once you get saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to sing about that anymore. Your life is not focused around wreck your body, then you die. See how much you can get into and how much trouble you can have, and then one day you'll die and it'll all be over. Listen, once you get saved, you have something far better than that. That can be replaced with something that is so much better. I was preaching in Palmer, Alaska in a tent meeting. And a guy came to me one afternoon. He said, you know, before I got saved, I was in this rock band and we played in these bars and all that stuff. And he said, I'm so glad I got saved. And now that I'm saved, I don't listen to music at all. Well, that's the wrong answer. That's the wrong answer. If you just say, well, okay, now I'm just going to stop listening to music altogether, you're going to listen to music. You don't really have a choice. It's out there all around you. It's on every football game you watch, there's going to be music. Every news broadcast you listen to is going to have music. Every time you walk through the Walmart, there's going to be music. So there's no way to escape it. It's always there. You just need to replace the wrong stuff with the right stuff. That's all. Just listen to the right thing that'll help you and encourage you and not drag you down in your spiritual life. Music is an important part of the life of the child of God. Don't ignore it altogether. Just use it correctly. Have you ever noticed that musical styles have corresponding lifestyles? Maybe you've never thought of it in those terms before. But you know, we have a little house in Franklin, Kentucky. And we're less than 40 miles from downtown Nashville. So the whole country music is a big thing down there. And over there in Kentucky, bluegrass, you know, that's the thing. Everybody's got to play the banjo and the mandolin and all that stuff. And it's a lot of fun. But when you're driving through Franklin, Kentucky, and you see somebody sitting on their front porch with a banjo, you don't think, aha, there's a classical music lover. Not what you think. Because the picture doesn't fit. The lifestyle and the musical style don't go together. But if you walk into a big a theater and there's somebody standing on the stage in a tuxedo and the lights are down and there's a big orchestra out there and the orchestra starts to play, you don't say, aha, we're gonna have some good old-fashioned rap today. No. Because what you're seeing doesn't correspond to that musical style. You see somebody, you know, that's all dressed in black and they have on black lipstick and black nail polish and their hair's all spiked up. You don't think, I bet you that guy plays the banjo in a bluegrass band. No. Because the lifestyles and the musical styles do correspond with each other. And by the same token, when you go up and say, hey, I'm a born-again Christian, I'm saved, and I'm depending on the blood of Jesus Christ for my eternal salvation, there's a musical style that corresponds to that. There is. And it's not the headbanger, it's not the drugged-out drunkie, it's none of that. Listen, there's something that goes along with that. That has a whole different air about it. A whole different sound and a whole different context. And there's a lifestyle and musical style that go together. You see, music affects the thought life and in turn has an important effect on the spirit. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Why would somebody who's been redeemed by the blood of Christ want to be filling their mind with all the filth of the world? That's what the music of the world conveys, is the filth of the world. Why would you want to put all that in your mind? Because as you think, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why the lifestyles begin to reflect the musical styles and they go together. You can watch a teenager who first discovers some of the goth rock and the death rock and all that stuff. You can watch them change their clothing and watch them change their hair and watch them change their language to fit into that musical style and the lifestyle that goes along with it. Because they correspond. And we ought to have a musical style that goes along with the fact that we're new creatures in Christ. We're different. We're saved. We have something better. Listen, we have a reason to sing. The world doesn't have a reason to sing other than they like music. We have a reason to sing in that we have been redeemed. We have a reason to sing. A good, legitimate reason to sing. In Isaiah 51, verse number 11, it says, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head." That's a good reason to sing, isn't it? If you're redeemed, Psalm 40, verses 1, 2, and 3 says, "He brought me up out of an horrible pit." That's a good reason to sing. That's better than singing about, you know, cheating on your wife and kicking the dog. And I mean, that's not much to sing about. But when you can sing, "I was in a horrible pit and God brought me up out of that," that's something to sing about. We have a reason to sing. The redemption of our souls is a good reason to sing. Do you know that Jesus sang? Of course you do. Matthew chapter 26, verse 30 says, "And when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives." They're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And what do? They sing a song. I don't know exactly what they sang. Some folks claim they know. I'm not sure they do. When we get to heaven, though, we might find out. It'd be nice to know, wouldn't it? I'll bet you it wasn't "Wreck Your Body, Then You Die." Bet you it wasn't. I bet you it was a wonderful song out of the Psalms somewhere about the greatness of God. We have a reason to sing. Our Savior was a singing Savior, and God's people have always been singing people. Always. We have a reason to sing. We have a resource to sing from. Amen? I do like that clock back there. That's a blessing. It just keeps stopping. That's good. Kind of like Joshua, you know, when the sun stood still. Now we got the clock standing still. It's a blessing. That means you can go all day. That's what they did in the Old Testament, right? You know what this is? This is a wonderful resource. There are wonderful truths in this book. To be perfectly honest, some of you, if you grew up in church, if you got saved young and grew up in church, you learned some theology out of this book before you ever knew it was in the Bible. You did. You learned some great truths that later on, you've probably had this happen to you. I had it happen to me. You're learning stuff in the Word of God, or the pastor's preaching along, and you read a passage and you think, "That's just like that song. That's just like that old song, that one verse in that song." You know why it's like that? Because that old guy was in the Bible, that's why. And he was writing songs based on that book. Some of those old stately hymns that almost sound a little confusing, if you stop and look at them, you'll find out those guys were delving into some theological ideas. They were. Some of them straight from the Bible, and some of them put forth in other ways, but there's wonderful, wonderful truth in this book. As a matter of fact, there's more truth in any 10 pages in this songbook than in most contemporary church song services going on today in Cambridge. I mean, they're just repeating the same 12 words over and over and over and over again. You can just open this somewhere, page 256. "If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He who redeemed you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God." That's Bible truth is what that is. That's good stuff. You can go the other side. "Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine." What a wonderful truth. You can pick just about anywhere. "I know the Bible is true," page 369. I don't know that song, but I like the title. Just the title alone would be a good thing to write down. "I know the Bible is true." Did you know most churches in this town today won't even say that? "I know the Bible." They don't even know if they have a Bible, let alone whether or not it's true. Thank God you're a place that believes the King James Bible and you know the Bible is true. Amen? And that songbook is going to help you to know. "Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. In my heart there rings a melody." There are good Bible truths in this book that you're not going to get in a little chorus repeated a half dozen times. It's a wonderful resource to sing from. I had a guy tell me once, "We're going to quit singing out of the hymnal because the people are bored with it. They don't like it." And I smiled at him so he wouldn't get mad at me. But I said, I don't believe you. I said, I think you're bored with it. Because when he would lead his little choruses, he did it enthusiastically. And when he'd lead the two hymns that they had to sing out of the hymnal, he'd lead them like he's at a funeral somewhere. I said, if you led the hymns as enthusiastically as you led the choruses, I think the people would enjoy the hymns as much as they enjoy the choruses. Because there's a lot more truth in those hymns than there is in those choruses. And you ought to sing them that way, amen? Sing them as if they're true. And if somebody comes in and sits in your song service, they ought to see you singing those truths like you believe them. Not like you're bored out of your mind, but like you believe them, amen? It's a wonderful resource to sing from. We have the hymnal. We have the Word of God. You can sing. You know the largest book in your Bible is the book of Psalms, and they were all to be sung. They were all to be sung. We don't know what the tunes were, but they were sung. God's people have always been singing people. And we've got some with tunes to them. We've done them here before. We may do a few tonight just for the sake of it, but it's wonderful, a wonderful way to memorize the Word of God. Sing verses from the Word of God, and it'll be hidden in your heart. You'd be surprised how easy it is to memorize passages of Scripture when there's a little tune put to it. And you can go on there. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource. That's what it's talking about in Colossians 3:16. Look at it again. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, the purpose is teaching and admonishing one another. What better way to teach and admonish one another is there than to sing the Word of God? I mean, if you're learning the Word of God in song, you are literally teaching and admonishing the Word of God to one another. Psalms and hymns from the hymnal, and then it says in spiritual songs. Not every song is a hymn. Not every song is a psalm from the Word of God. There are just good, godly songs that are spiritual songs that are helpful and encouraging in your walk with God. That's a wonderful, wonderful resource. You can sing those songs. Some are uplifting and exciting. They make you think about salvation and heaven. And others make you contemplate the goodness of God. Some are songs of comfort that help you to remember what God is doing in the midst of trials. And there are a lot of wonderful spiritual songs that are a help and a blessing to you. Help and a blessing. We have a reason to sing. We have a resource to sing from. And then the result of it all is, first of all, that it's pleasing to God. If God tells us in Colossians 3:16 to do this and let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom and to sing, then when we do that, we're obeying God. That's pleasing to God. So obedience is one good reason. And the result is that it pleases God. It says the same thing in Ephesians 5:19. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's pleasing to God. Secondly, a result is that it's a good testimony. Good testimony. If you're walking around at work and you're singing, "Wreck Your Body, Then You Die," and then you go up to the guy at lunch and say, "Hey, let me tell you about Jesus." Is that going to affect your testimony, do you suppose? I think it would. I mean, that's no better than if you're off in the corner telling filthy jokes and then you go up and say, "Let me tell you about Jesus." It's the same thing. It invalidates your testimony. But if you're walking around work and everybody's having a rough time and you're having a hard day and you're singing, "In My Heart There Rings a Melody" or "Amazing Grace" or whatever it is, then when somebody has you come up to them and say, "Hey, let me invite you to church. Let me give you this track. Let me tell you about Jesus," they might think that you're for real. You see what I mean? It's a good testimony. Because the song in your heart and the song on your lips is not the same death and destruction and depression that they hear all around them all the time, every day, and that they would be singing. It's different. It lets them know there's something different in your life. When you pull up to work and your car is pounding and going ba-boom, 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 it lets them know you don't have anything different than they have. But when you get out and you're singing about the goodness of God, something's different. And there are only two explanations. Either you're goofy or you've got something worth having. Amen? And they probably think you're goofy anyway. So just go ahead and sing. Amen? Just let them think that. And you know who they'll come to when they're having a rough time? They're not going to go to the guy who's telling dirty jokes at lunch and the guy whose car throbs and bangs when he's pulling into the parking lot. They're going to go to you, the guy who last week they said was goofy. They're going to go to you and say, what am I supposed to do now? What do I do now? What a wonderful time to say I have the answer. I can tell you what to do. You see, it's a good testimony. It's pleasing to God. It's a good testimony. And then look at Colossians 3:15 again. Remember now, this is in the same context as verse 16. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace of God is linked to verse 16, where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. If the music you're listening to is death and depression and destruction, you're probably not going to have the peace of God ruling in your heart. Instead, you're going to have fear and anxiety and depression, because that's what you're filling your mind with. And if you fill your mind with the things of God and the goodness of God, it's much more likely you're going to find the peace of God ruling in your heart and life. I was blessed with wonderful in-laws, really. I know some in-laws are from the pit. I know that. But don't look at anybody. Don't do that. But I was blessed with wonderful in-laws. And my mother-in-law went on to heaven January 2nd. It's been, 4 years ago now. This coming January, 4 years ago. It doesn't seem like that long. And she went through a long period of cancer and all that goes along with that. And just you see the decay and all the rest. And we knew that night that she was going to be leaving us and going to heaven. We assumed that that was going to be the night. And her breathing got more labored, and we stood around her bed in the house. And we didn't sing, wreck your body, then you die. What we sang was, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, the solid rock. We started singing, and we got through the first verse and second verse. And then she exhaled, and she just simply did not inhale again. In that instant, she just went to be with her Savior. Step fast. It was the most peaceful thing you can imagine. And there we were singing a song. You say, that's a silly thing to do. No, not really. Not in that situation. That's not silly at all. And just that fast, it was peaceful. It was calm. It was really surprising at how peaceful it was. The Lord really blessed us that night. It was an amazing thing. There are probably a whole lot of songs that could have been sung. But at that moment, you need to remember where your hope is. Your hope is not in being a good person, and your hope is not in your baptism and your church membership and all that stuff. Your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's our only hope. And the peace of God settled in on that place. And it was a wonderful thing. Music affects your thoughts. Your thoughts affect your spirit. And it affects your testimony, and it affects everything in your spiritual life. So when you put the wrong stuff out, you got to replace it with the right stuff. Stuff that's honoring to God, pleasing to God, that will help you in your walk with God. There's some music that may in and of itself not necessarily be evil and wicked, but it's not going to help you in your walk with God. You need to find that which is going to help you and encourage you. Because sooner or later, you're going to find yourself in a spot where you surely wish the peace of God were there in the room. And it would be nice if a song like The Solid Rock could come to mind at that moment, and not some silly thing about drinking on the way home from work. You see, you have to get out the wrong stuff and replace it with the right stuff. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I pray that these simple thoughts would be a help and encouragement. We ask that you would bless in the service to come. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.